So we took a fresh look at Sharia, if you're interested, I'll give you the larger version of it. But there's a distinguished group of, as I recall, 19 folks. And the conclusion that we came to was that, contrary to the orthodoxy of the time, which was that of the Bush years, which has become even more true under Obama, that the doctrine or the ideology or the program that we're confronting has nothing to do with Islam. It actually has everything to do with what the authorities of Islam say is the faith, namely Sharia. Having said that, we very directly acknowledge in the book, and I do in every opportunity I have, that there are lots of Muslims who don't practice their faith in accordance with Sharia, but they're not the problem, by and large, at least not yet. The ones who do are unmistakably. And that manifests itself in what Sharia compels them to do. And again, I may be repeating some of the stuff we talked about the other day. I can't remember, but just in the interest of completeness.
Yeah.
It's their God-directed duty to impose it on everybody else, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, Sharia, that is. And the way to do that is through jihad, which is not about personal struggle or about being a better Muslim or the other things we're often told. Again, some Muslims may feel that way, but that's not what Sharia is really requiring of them. And by the way, when I talk about Sharia, and I don't know if you have seen it, my colleague may have it next door, what we've used as kind of our reference text is Reliance of the Traveler, which is a book that I think was first written about 1,300 years ago. It has been translated into English.
Or was it again?
Reliance of the Traveler.
Oh, yeah.
It has been described as authoritative in terms of its rendering of Sharia by Al-Azhar and the House of Saud, the Jordanian royals, and so on. And when you look at the jihad as it is described there, it is clearly about holy war. And the holy war is, as a practical matter, pursued by those who believe this is God's will in different ways. The preferred way, the most efficient way, is terrifying violence. And where you're strong enough to do that and you can succeed at it, go for it. Some say you should do it whether you can succeed at it or not, just because that's the right way. And you get your Islamic States and your Talibans and your other folks you've been hanging with, Al-Qaeda and so on, lovely people. But as important, I think, are the other kinds of jihad that are also perfectly legitimate. And in fact, the responsibility of Muslims to engage in, especially where they're not strong enough to use violence. And that runs the gamut from the hijra, of migration, colonization, invasion, whatever you want to call it. Zakat, at least a portion of which is supposed to go to jihad, or people who engage in it, their families, what have you. Or what the Muslim Brotherhood calls civilization jihad. And this is the single most important book, as far as I'm concerned, on the subject, because it is a secret plan that the Muslim Brotherhood's leadership here in America wrote in 1991 as a report back to the mothership in Egypt. Never meant for our eyes, but it lays out both what their mission is, which is described as destroying Western civilization from within by their hands, meaning ours, and the hands of the believers, so that God's religion is made victorious over all other religions. And then it proceeds to say, in the way of a report as to how they're coming, some 25 years after they began, with this stealthy, subversive kind of jihad, by which they essentially, like termites, hollow out, the structure of civil society and other institutions, government institutions included, for the purpose of creating conditions under which the jihad will succeed, perhaps through a violent phase, or perhaps otherwise.